Welcome to Begin With Yes with Paul Boynton on Empower Radio, a show to help you create and embrace real personal change. You can overcome the challenges in front of you. You just begin with yes. Here's your host, Paul Boynton.
Hey, Brent, thank you so much. We are so fortunate to be part of the Empower Radio family and grateful for your hospitality and grateful to everyone listening today for a little bit of positivity. I'm so excited that my guest is Sandy Duncan, and we're going to be dancing while we talk. Sandy is a dancer herself, has a company called Sharing the Dance of Life, which we'll be talking about. Sandy, it's so good to finally have you with us. It wasn't easy to get this coordinated.
Oh, good morning, Paul. Thank you for having me here. And yes, scheduling's been a little bit crazy for us both, but I'm fortunate that it all worked out.
It does. Those things finally do work out. And I think the scheduling difficulty just means that we're both having a good time. Sandy, before you and I begin, let me tell people a little bit about you. You're a dance educator in the New England area for over 30 years, so people can do the math and begin to get a sense for how old you are. And you've been working with students of all ages, and you're currently a senior faculty member at the Melissa Hoffman Dance Center. I know that you've taught and choreographed for numerous dance organizations throughout the United States and Canada. You've even traveled to Africa with a group of dancers presenting AIDS awareness programs. And Sandy's real passion is connecting with the students that she works with on a deep emotional level, challenging them to achieve their own personal goals through their positive self-talk and visualization. And she coaches students not only as dancers, but coaches them in more significant, even in profound, life-changing ways. Her business, as I said, is Sharing the Dance of Life, and she coaches people who don't dance as well. She credits her grandmother, Gladys Sykes, and her mom, Faith Wilson, for inspiring her. And we'll talk a little bit about that as we go on. But Sandy, let's get started. And I want to start with a very, very open-ended question. Can you, if we met at the, if we were both sitting waiting for a plane at the airport and we're chatting with each other, can you give us a little bit of a sense for you right now, what you're up to and what are some of the things that are exciting to you?
Okay, well, I have been doing a lot of choreography lately on our students. We've been performing throughout the area. And I'm also in the process of kind of launching a motivational speaking business. So I've been traveling around to a lot of different dance studios, speaking with teenage girls, trying to empower them and share some life tools that I've learned. And also last summer, spoke in Arizona at a dance teachers conference for teachers from all over the United States and Australia and Canada, and I'm in the process of writing a book.
No wonder it was hard to get you scheduled. what's the book called? Do you have a name yet for the book?
Well, the book tentatively is called The Healing Dance of Life, and okay. I'm actually working on interviewing dancers that have had some challenges in their lives and that they've basically use dance to kind of heal themselves and move forward in their lives to make more empowering choices and to kind of get through some obstacles. And so kind of sharing that through the dance world and then through the non-dance world as well. So, yeah, there's a lot of fun things going on.
It sounds like it. Have you danced yourself for most of your life?
I did. I started when I was 2 years old. And wow. It was something everyone in the neighborhood did, and so I did it. And my first year, I cried like a baby and didn't like it, and then cried because my mom didn't send me back the next year. And I've been dancing ever since. I was about 3 and a half. So, yeah.
Is dancing? I have to be delicate about how I word this, but is dancing for young people, or would you say that? In terms of your own sort of aging process and love for dance, what kind of changes have you noticed with yourself and for yourself? Has it slowed you down, I guess, is the question.
Well, dance hasn't slowed me down. I mean, in regards to when you're a young child and you start to dance, I think it can be, if you have inspirational teachers around you and teachers that handle it in a positive manner, it can be really a vehicle that helps build self-esteem in young children all the way up to adults as well, I think. It gives you a lot of body awareness. It gives you appreciation for the different ways your body can move. And there's just so many benefits to it. It's healthy. It makes you strong. I can't say how I guess I'm just so passionate about it. I can't say enough about how great I think it is for a human to just dance. It's just such a stress reliever. And as you're starting to tap dance a little bit, Paul.
Yeah, well, I know. We're going to talk about that in a little while. But when did you make the connection between your love of dance and your passion for life and how dance is in some ways both a metaphor and an actual practical way to deal with some of the changes or challenges?
I kind of started watching, I've been teaching for quite some time, but I kind of started watching the teenage girls and how they were kind of sabotaging their lives before they were actually even getting started. In essence, you know, moving into their teen years and how they were kind of sabotaging themselves. And so I kind of just chose to kind of really observe kids a lot and watch and kind of see the connection of, okay, the positive language that we use can really help lead these kids in a strong positive direction. And so that's how the dance and the kind of mind connection kind of came together in the life coaching. And I guess in essence, people have told me that I've been life coaching my students and I never even really realized it until I kind of stopped and was made aware of it by many of the parents of the kids that I worked with. And so it kind of just became a natural evolution, you know, kind of just evolved into this project of being able to sit and talk with teens and find out what was going on in their minds and kind of just give them some positive tools on how to live life, not just as a dancer, but as an everyday teenager.
You know? And while you were observing this and paying attention to this, do you think that there was sort of a parallel process going on in your own life?
Absolutely.
Maybe, yeah. Could we talk about that for just a minute?
Sure. Had some of my own personal challenges and
joined the club.
Exactly. In those personal challenges, I guess we can stop and make a decision if we're going to become victim to them or if we're going to let them help us grow through them. And so I, you know, went into a little bit of a victim stage for a little while and kind of crawled under a rock for a bit and wasn't living my life to its fullest potential. And but at the same time, I think it was a kind of a healing period for me. And I kind of just became a bit of a homebody and relaxed and started studying about life and the different things, the choices that we make, how they can kind of influence what we do. And so I allowed myself to kind of get back into the studio a bit more in regards to just feeling a bit more freedom with my own self and my own way I was living my life. And kind of started to just heal through dance and through just studying a lot about life and the opportunities that we have and the choices that we make and how our choices affect everything we do. Pretty much. And we have the strength and the courage and the power to make positive choices, and that can kind of propel us to move forward. And so that's kind of what I decided to do, is stop living as a victim and just kind of move forward. And it's really propelled my life in many different areas that I never expected. So it's been kind of fun.
That's what I love talking with people on this show, because there's probably no one that hasn't gotten stuck at some point in their life. And that decision point, that point, do you, and many times there are lots of outside external factors that challenge people and create roadblocks for people. So it's not to say that there aren't difficult things that happen to us. Some of them we make happen to ourselves and other things just seem to happen to us. But so it's not to say that those things aren't real, but at some point, and it sounds like this is what you're saying, at some point you realize that, you know, for better or for worse, if things were going to move in a more positive direction, it was going to be up to you to do something about that.
Without a doubt. Yeah, absolutely. And had to make the choice to, what do they say, put on your big girl pants and mm-hmm. do it. And so I did. And it was scary. It was scary to kind of take risks because you kind of start to doubt your own self-judgment, I guess. And you kind of start to, you don't realize if what you're going to be doing moving into it is going to fail or succeed, but it just kind of teaches you to take more risks.
I think that, it's that fear that holds so many of us back. And don't, my sense is that sometimes we exaggerate the fear, in our minds.
Absolutely.
And also I sense that sometimes we confuse excitement with fear because they, those two emotions kind of feel the same in your gut. You know, people often say they've got butterflies in their belly. And, we tend to want to say, oh, that's fear. But sometimes I think if we actually thought about it, it's at least a combination of fear and also excitement too, which be kind of motivating. As a performer, a dance performer, it seems like anybody who is willing to get up on stage in front of other people who just sort of get to sit there and look at you, that in and of itself, is scary. Performing in front of people is scary. And so do you think that there's any parallel between the performance piece and learning how to at least manage your fear or manage your anxiety?
I'll be honest with you, Paul. A lot of people that are fearful in their everyday life get onto the stage, and that fear disappears. It's almost that the stage is this empowering place for them, and they are able to get up there and not have to worry about a lot of the challenges that they're facing or their fears that they're facing, and they get out there, and they just are able to become the person inside that they really want to be but are afraid to show the rest of the world in their everyday life, but they can for some reason get out on that stage and just let it go. I've seen this with a lot of kids. I've seen it with a lot of adults, and it's a really interesting process to watch. And as an audience member, you don't always understand that, what the journey that these performers are going through, or the experience, the healing experience that a performer can be going through once they step foot up on that stage as well.
It is. That's very interesting. And at least from my perspective, I think that once you establish that intention that you're going to do something, and you do that in kind of a public way, and what could be more public than saying, yes, you're going to dance in 5 minutes on stage in front of people. But once you make that declaration, then you're sort of setting something in motion that requires you to, whether you're afraid or not, you have to take that step out onto the stage.
Correct. It's kind of like accountability. It's holding you accountable for getting up there. If you've announced it to someone, then they're expecting to see you up there. It's an accountability, and you have to get up there and follow through. And that in itself is extremely empowering.
And then once you begin moving, whether it's dance or in other non-dance related ways, moving in your life, then some of the fear begins to dissipate. And as you're describing it, sometimes you totally lose any sense of fear.
Yeah, exactly. And it's important, I think, for people to face their fears and kind of not push them under the rug, but kind of face them. And if we can encourage people to do it through dance, then all the better.
I agree.
Of course, I'm standing here talking to you and I'm dancing around the room. I'm not sitting still as I'm talking to you.
Well, that's a beautiful image. You mentioned...
Maybe that's me facing my fear of talking to you. I'm kidding.
You mentioned in our email correspondence, your grandmother, Gladys, I think, Sykes, is that her name?
Yes.
And your mom, Faith Wilson, and you sort of credit them with having taught you early on some important lessons. And let's talk about that for just a minute. Why did you mention them in our correspondence?
Well, my grandmother was very into the Norman Vincent Peale philosophy and positive attitude and positive energy. And I know you made reference to him in your book as well. And was kind of just, I watched this woman who faced a lot of challenges again in life, and she lived life bigger and larger than anyone I've ever known, and positive, and just was this amazing, engaging spirit. And that transitioned down to my mom, who, just instead of looking at situations that were difficult and finding the negative in them, they chose a more positive reaction and response to different things. And I kind of learned from their responses and their reactions to how to deal with people on a regular basis and to kind of find the good in people and look deep into people and always know that there's something good about every person. And it's not always evident out there in front of everyone, but they always just found the good in everybody and in every situation. And so that just really resonated with me and kind of has stuck with me for all of my life. And it just, I guess, to phrase it, would just be an optimistic attitude. Not unrealistic, but optimistic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I like the concept of optimism grounded in reality, so that, because I think optimistic people often get a bad rap, and maybe sometimes it's deserved and sometimes it's not, but there's this sense that people that are optimistic either have their head in the sand or aren't paying attention to what's really going on or have had really easy lives and haven't had to deal with difficult challenges. And at least for me, none of those things are true.
Right.
And so I think this grounded in reality is something that's important to talk about, because it's very annoying when you're going through a difficult time for someone just to sort of in a chirpy kind of way say, look on the bright side, or things will be better tomorrow, or all the things.
Absolutely, without a doubt. I agree with you 100% on that. And it's more just, I think, in my own mind about the way we respond to the challenges that are put in front of us. Choice of response and choice of reaction, as opposed to, you know, not, like you said, not preaching to people about, you know, right, well, look to the bright side tomorrow, but more about talking and finding out ways to kind of overcome, but it's hard to put into words, but ways to overcome, not to dwell, I guess. And
It's really shifting your perspective, I think. It's like, yes, that's true that this challenge is going on in your life right now, and maybe there's nothing you can do right now about that reality. Mm-hmm. So I love the question, Sandy, now what? Because it allows you to shift from focusing on the problem to an action. What can I do? I use the example sometimes of a toothache. And yes, you do have a toothache, and it really does hurt really bad. And if you stay at that place where you're just moaning and in pain, because you have every right to moan and be in pain because your tooth does hurt, but you don't ask yourself now what and get yourself to a dentist and take a couple of aspirin and deal with that toothache, then you're just going to stay in a miserable place. And so it's that,
sorry to interrupt, but something that I've learned recently in my studies is that pain is inevitable, but suffering is optional. And I found that to be really a strong, strong statement, that we're all going to have pain in our lives, and that's inevitable, but it's the way we choose to either suffer or not suffer during that pain and through that pain.
And also, it's almost like recognizing and giving yourself at least a little space, I think, to feel sad when something sad is going on in your life. I don't think that you're, and I don't think you're saying this at all, but that moving so quickly over to the now what without at least being respectful and paying attention.
And feeling it,
absolutely.
Letting yourself feel the pain and then truly, making your choice of how you're going to handle that pain.
One of the things that I've been thinking about a lot, and it's, if we were being, this is how we are when we're together in person. We just we jump from one thing to the other in our conversations.
We dance, Paul. That's what we do.
Yeah, I think we do. I don't know if it's the jitterbug or what it is, but one of the things that I've been thinking about, and I want to throw that out to you to react to, and maybe from a personal perspective, is that it's very hard to grab hold of something new when you're hanging on so tightly to something old that isn't working. And there is part of moving forward means that you have to let go sometimes of some things. And sometimes there are things, and sometimes there are other people and relationships. Mm-hmm. And I wonder, does that bring anything to mind to you, just putting that sort of theory out there?
Yeah, I mean, I know in the past that I had kind of not intentionally, but was finding myself surrounded by a lot of negativity. And sometimes you have to let go of some relationships that are bringing that negativity toward you in order to kind of propel yourself forward a bit. And holding on can kind of harm and instead of move you forward. And that's a painful process to let go of that in order to be able to move forward. And that's a good one.
It is. And I think, you know, many times when I'm chatting with people, they talk about some of the less positive or even negative people in their life. And sometimes they're people that are difficult, if not impossible, to let go of. They may be parents or spouses. Mm-hmm. One of the things that occurred to me a while back, is that, again, there's an opportunity to shift your perspective and maybe it's not how do I move away from this person, but putting your focus on bringing other people into your life that are more positive and more hopeful and more mm-hmm. motivating and encouraging. Mm-hmm. And so even if people are listening to this right now and one of the negative voices in their life is somebody that's difficult to move away from, if you can shift your focus to bringing new people in to your life, that will.
Totally agree, and I think that's how we ended up coming in contact with each other, you and I, because I know that I was in kind of looking for that in my own life, and through Cheryl Maloney, through Simple Steps, we connected, and it's an amazing kind of circle of the way that things kind of connect together, and so you, like you said, you don't always have to let go of everyone, but you can bring new energy towards you and around you. And
yeah,
it's kind of amazing to see where that energy takes you, I think.
It's true. It's you put yourself out there a little bit. And one of the ironies of our connecting in person, because we live about 20 minutes from each other.
And so ironic when I saw that out.
But the person that connected us is Cheryl, who you mentioned from, and she's got a wonderful Facebook page as well, Simple Steps, that you mm-hmm. mentioned. But she's on the West Coast. And,
I know. It's so strange because I asked for permission, you know, to speak with her first to see if it was okay with her if I contacted you because it was through your friendship. And then I found out you live 15 minutes from me. So it's just really
that's what I love about that's what I love about social media, and
the whole
world opens up in incredible ways. And speaking of social media, let's talk about your Facebook page, which is called Sharing the Dance of Life. I go there almost every single day. You have beautiful pictures, and I wonder, a lot of your pictures are of dancers, and then you offer beautiful thoughts and suggestions for the day. And I know you have a huge fan base. So if people are listening and their Facebook people, they should go to Sharing the Dance of Life and check it out, because not only will they see your beautiful face, but they'll see some beautiful pictures and be motivated. But when did you get started with that page?
I think it was a little over a year ago, and I started off just figured I'd kind of test run and see what would happen, and never really expected it to take off. But again, it brings Cheryl back into the picture. She at one point had posted and suggested people check out my page, and from there it just grew and grew, and I kind of saw the power of, ironically, my name was titled Sharing the Dance of Life, and I saw what the power of sharing was doing with one another, and it's just amazing the connections that we're all able to make from around the world and kind of all share our own thoughts and inspirations with each other, and It's just been a blast. I have so much fun with that page and have made some really wonderful friendships through it. So it's just fun. It's a lot of work, but it's so much fun.
It really is. And the your base of people that are both encouraged by you and who encourage you, because I actually think that that the people that we bring into us, we create this sort of equal kind of energy exchange, so that not only are you encouraging them, but they are in fact encouraging you at the same time.
If having a low day at all, you just go, you know, you can go on there and make some great connections for the day, and people are always encouraging, and it's just a whole new way of life for so many of us, and it's really fun.
I hope I hope Cheryl from Simple Steps Real Change is listening, because I'm always telling her, if she ever, and she's written another beautiful book called Simple Steps for Real Life, which is a real keeper. And so I know that she's going to keep writing and sharing her stuff. But I told her the other day, if you're not going to do that any longer, you should become a matchmaker, because she's wonderful at
connecting.
She really is. Sandy, people often say that music is like the universal language, but it occurred to me talking to you that dance is perhaps another universal language, because in all cultures, people dance, don't they?
Right. I mean, there aren't any boundaries in regards to dance, because you just said music's a universal language. Dance, we don't necessarily have to use our vocal voice, but we kind of use our body as our voice, and it can cross all boundaries. Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing. I have a dream of traveling around the world someday and just videotaping people dancing all over the world, and just putting it into this video of just kind of sharing dance and just encouraging each other to love dance. And I think it can break down so many different boundaries, because people love to move, regardless if it's someone that's on the side of the street that's dancing, or someone that's in their car just dancing to the radio. It's, you don't have to be a trained dancer. Anybody right. can do it, and it just can bring so much joy to your life.
It's kind of contagious too. It's like optimism or laughter. If you're around people. I mean, all I have to do is hear people laugh and I start laughing. And if you're around people that are dancing, it's hard not to begin at least tapping your toe and moving a little bit. We're getting close to the end. We probably have 3 minutes or so we can talk a bit longer, but, I know that you coach people and you sort of gravitate, and people who are dancers gravitate towards you, but do you work with people too that are not necessarily as focused on dance as you are?
I do. I actually do. I've started a coaching business and have been working with teenagers that are non-dancers. I was coaching a teenage boy a while back, and people that just kind of, you had mentioned before, getting stuck in life and just kind of need a little push and need some tools. And it's been a really enjoyable experience working with people that are non-dance related as well. So it's been a lot of fun. And
Do you sense that through dance or through your coaching that people can actually in relatively short period of time begin to see some improvement in self-esteem? Because I believe that if people feel better about themselves, they have access to more energy to keep moving forward.
I think if people are honest with themselves and they want to make some changes, then they can make a change in their first hour of coaching. If they're willing to be honest and upfront of where they are at and want to be at, I think anyone can make awesome changes. Remarkable changes, even within 1 hour of just talking and goal setting. I'm a firm believer in teaching people how to set goals, because when you can kind of see something and envision it, and it kind of starts to spark you. And when you take action on one of those goals, it just causes you to take more action each step of the way, and can really propel you to do some remarkable things in your life.
And I think that sort of brings us back to what you and I often talk about when we were sharing a cup of coffee or chatting with each other on the phone, is that the concept of small steps. It's like, we don't have to lose 20 pounds this week. Mm-hmm. We don't have to get a college degree this week. It's the concept of very small steps.
Right. Baby steps, one day at a time, one action can lead to another action, which can lead to another, and you just never know where those little baby steps are going to take you, which is so great.
And one of the beautiful images that I always keep in my mind and share with people from time to time is that if you're moving, no matter how small the step is, then you're no longer stuck, because it's really impossible to be stuck and moving at the same time.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, we are very, very close to closing, and I promised that we would talk about tap dancing. You're going to teach me how to tap dance, right?
I am. I'm coming to teach you pretty soon. I don't know when we're going to start, but I'm hoping it's soon because I've got my agenda all set for you.
Awesome. Well, we'll report back to everyone. We want to thank everyone for being with us. Sandy, it's been wonderful talking to you. Thank you all for being with us on Empower Radio, and we will see you next time.
Thank you so much.